boat and go ahead towards the other side. While he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he had noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You are of little faith. Why do you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Please sit. So I have written a bit of a sermon on the reading from Matthew this morning. I started to write it, and then I thought, I don't quite have the time for this, so I stopped, and then last night I got the conviction that I needed to actually write it. So I sat up till 2 o'clock this morning, writing out the sermon that you're about to get. So if it's a bit ropey near the end, I do apologise. Let me just have a bit of water before I start. So in last week's reading, in the gospel reading, we had Jesus feeding the 5,000. In this week's, we carry on from those events. Jesus starts by dismissing the crowds that he's just fed, and he gives orders to the disciples to get back into the boat and to go ahead to the other side of the lake as he goes up to the mountain to pray. But as evening comes, the disciples are now stuck out in the middle of that lake due to a storm battering against the boat, stopping them from getting to the land. Now, I personally don't have a great deal of experience when it comes to boats, other than the time when I had to travel to Jersey for a 2-week camp with the army. We went down south somewhere. I'll be honest, I don't really remember where it was. The perks of not being able to drive is you can just sit in the van and switch off. But we get down south, we get onto the ferry, and we start heading out. Now, the weather, unlike what it was in the gospel reading, was actually quite nice, quite sunny, calm winds. And as we're sailing off, start off quite smooth. But as we start to enter the channel, it starts getting a little bit choppy. I can remember sitting there, desperately trying to fall asleep in the hopes that the feeling of being sick would eventually sort of disappear. So to be absolutely honest with you, I really wouldn't have liked to have been in that boat during that storm. But as we read on, we are now in the morning, and the storm is still battering against the boat. Stuck on the boat in the middle of the lake during the storm throughout the night, chances are they would be in the pitch black, with no light, because any little light that they would have had would have either been blown out by the wind, or it would have been quenched by the smashing waves against the boat. But then morning breaks. The sun starts to rise, and we see someone walking across the lake, striking absolute fear into the disciples until Jesus speaks out, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter asks Jesus to command him to walk on water like him. So Jesus commands him, and Peter gets out of the boat and starts to walk on the water towards Jesus. But as Peter is walking, he notices the strong wind. He starts to panic and starts to sink. Crying out to Jesus, he shouts, "Lord, save me." And reaching out, Jesus grabs the hand of Peter, saying, "You are of little faith. Why do you doubt?" You are of little faith. What do we mean by faith? So the Bible describes faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped, for the conviction of things not seen. So faith is to believe, to hope for something without actually seeing what it is that we're believing or hoping for." But does this actually mean that faith is irrational? Does it mean that it's not reasonable? Some might say it is, because it lacks evidence. So it makes faith blind. But to be honest with you, I think that's absolute nonsense. We use faith on a daily basis. All of us this morning came into this church and eventually sat down on one of your chairs. Now, we don't know for absolute certain that that chair will hold your weight. But we believe it does, because it's a chair that's been designed purposely for somebody to sit on. It's in relatively good condition. And chances are, this week, like last week, you sat on it and it held you. So why wouldn't it hold your weight this week? Richard Dawkins, one of the leaders of the New Atheist movement, had a debate with a professor called John Lennox, who was a Christian and a professor of mathematics, I believe at Oxford. I should have checked, but I didn't. And they were having this debate, and one of the topics that you were talking about was faith. Now, Richard Dawkins believed that faith didn't have evidence, because if we had evidence for something, then it wouldn't require faith. But John Lennox gave him an example, a personal example, that he was married, that Richard Dawkins was married, and he asked him whether he had faith in his wife. Now, Richard Dawkins probably doesn't know for 100% fact, because you never can, whether his wife actually loves him. But he has faith because of her actions, through her words, and even through a feeling. All of this is reasonable to believe that she does, in fact, love him. As Christians, I think we live in the best time to be a Christian, for evidence and proof towards the Christian faith. The majority of historians believe Jesus was actually a real person and was actually crucified. Very few denied these two events, and they're usually sort of, how do I put it, mocked, let's say, by the other historians, because it's basically on the same kind of equivalent as being a flat earther, really. Our Bibles, our modern-day Bibles, are translated from older manuscripts. So if you take something like the King James Version, okay, the manuscripts that they used to translate that Bible were a lot more recent than the ones that they use for ours now. So it makes the Bible a little bit more accurate to what the disciples were saying or were writing down, or the apostles even, sorry. And it makes it a lot more reliable. We have more writings outside of the Bible, as well as archaeological evidence to prove the events within the Bible. And something that's usually belittled, I suppose you could say, is our own personal experiences. We all have our own experiences to the reason why we know God exists. So we probably have more evidence than the vast majority of Christians throughout history. The only people that would have more are the actual disciples, the actual people that walked alongside Christ himself. Disciples like Peter, who was walking on the water with Jesus. But just like Peter, we doubt our faith. Peter has seen Jesus perform all sorts of miracles. The last miracle he saw was in feeding of the 5,000. Now he is performing the miracle of walking on water. But despite seeing these miracles, when the winds blow, when troubles arise, Peter starts to lose faith. How many times in our walk with Christ have we doubted? How many times when the storms blow, when troubles come, do we lose faith? Do we turn inwards towards ourselves? It's easy to be a Christian when times are good, when we have plenty of money, when we have good health, when everything is going right, when we feel God's presence. But when the storms blow, when times get hard, when we sit there asking, why me? We lose sight of the evidence and our experiences. It's hard not to turn inwards to try to deal with things ourselves. It's hard not to try and to be independent, to try and to do things alone. As Christians, we should always try to take our problems or issues or doubts to God, but sometimes we forget. Sometimes we put other things first. As Christians, we should build habits like regular prayer, reading our Bibles, and being with his people, like we are now. So that when the winds do blow, we are more likely to stand firm in our faith. I did wonder when I started writing this how many times Jesus would have said those words he said to Peter, to me. You are of little faith, why do you doubt? The times when problems have arisen and I've buried my head in the sand, times when problems, oh, I've just read that bit. When I buried my head in the sand, when I've decided that God can't be true because a certain thing or particular event that's happened shouldn't have happened if God was real. But fortunately for me and for you, Jesus will always be there, just like he was there for Peter. So when we start to doubt and sink, Jesus will be there to grab our hand and pull us back to him. Now, I did originally think about reading a poem that no doubt you've all probably heard, and I've just lost it. There he is. I did think that you've probably all heard it before, so I'm not going to tell you it again. But then God told Fiona, and Fiona told me, as she does, that I'm to read it. So the poem I'm talking about is Footprints, Footprints in the Sand. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking alone. Along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes of his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to him, and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times across the path of his life, there were only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you.